This podcast is brought to you by SeatGeek.com. Use the promo code ALMIGHTY and receive $20 back on your purchase ticket. I know summer concerts are coming up pretty soon here. So use SeatGeek.com, promo code ALMIGHTY in all caps, ALMIGHTY. Use that code and you'll receive $20 rebate on your purchase seating ticket. SeatGeek.com, better seats, better prices. Welcome, welcome, welcome to Let's Listen of the Fast Break. And today we are reviewing Kanye West's latest album, The Life of Pablo. And for this, I have a huge Kanye fan, huge Kanye fanatic, a bigger Kanye fan than I am, Mr. Malcolm Bello.
How's it going, everybody?
How you doing, buddy?
I'm good, just coming from a grad party and everything, so I'm excited to talk about this album.
I'm feeling right. We're talking about Mr. Kanye West himself. So what made you start listening to Kanye?
You know, ever since I was little, like, music has been a big influence and everything. So yeah. My mom introduced me to a lot of people like Stevie Wonder and Michael Jackson and Prince. I don't want to sound cliche with it, but this is the music that I've been accustomed to. Then growing up hearing Jesus Walks and other stuff by Hove,
yeah,
Pharrell and stuff, like just being able to expand upon like this stuff that I love. So Kanye has just been that ever-growing artist, and he's just been the epitome of cool along with Jay-Z and Pharrell to me. So I really enjoy listening to his music.
Dope. Well, without further ado, let's get started with The Life of Pablo. Alright, so with Kanye, Graduation Day will always be my favorite album from him. I don't know about you in particular. Like, what was your favorite Kanye album?
When it comes to me, I'm biased, so like any Kanye album was pretty much good to me. Now, when it comes to what I would choose to listen to first, if I'm like riding in the car or being around people, it probably would be My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasies.
A lot of reps.
Yeezus. Now, Yeezus doesn't really get all the credit that it really deserves.
Mm-hmm. It was out there.
It was, because it was different and people didn't really want to mess with something different.
Mm-hmm. You know, they're afraid of it. And, you know, Kanye's known for always pushing those boundaries, and that's why I respect Kanye so much. 808 and Heartbreaks. What about that? When it first came out, people wasn't hip to all that autotune, but if you reflect back on that album, like, it was pretty dope.
808 and Heartbreak was a turning point, because at that time, I think hormones trying to kick in, you know what I'm saying? So you got Kanye. Yeah, so you got Kanye singing about girls and heartbreaks and everything. So it's like a preteen going on that teenage stage. You know, you can really hit home, you know what I'm saying? I kept the CD in my mom's car and we just listened to it whenever we were driving and shit.
And you say mom, that was about the time his mother passed away too.
Yeah, it was like his second or third album after his mom died.
Mm-hmm. Respected mother was, rest in peace.
Yeah.
So we get Life of Pablo, and the title was changed multiple times. It was Waves at first. Then it was something else, and then
it was like So Help Me God, then Waves, then the mystery name, so like no one knew what the next title was going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And he did this thing on Twitter where if somebody guessed the actual name of it right, they got a free pair of Yeezys. And
then they got invited to go to one of his concerts too, right? Was that the deal?
I mean, hey, all I knew about was the Yeezys. If they got invited to one of the concerts too, then
Kanye
I'm
real
been
for
salty.
That.
He's
Kanye,
real.
He real for that.
Like, he stays close to the people.
And I know we're going to get the tracks in a little bit. Were you surprised Travis Scott wasn't on any of the songs on this album?
No, because this is around the time where Travis is starting to blow up. And when Travis first came out, he was something different too, because I saw him produce a lot of tracks for Kanye when he first got started.
Yeah.
Kanye producing for him. So I'm not surprised, because Travis produces for Kanye. He's one of Kanye's top producers now. So Travis is doing his thing. He has the album on the way.
Mm-hmm.
Birds in the Trap, Sing McKnight. So hey, I'm excited for it. It's about to be a fun 2016.
Dope, dope. Yeah, Champions was lit. So, let's get in the first track. Also, like being Chance obviously stole the show on that.
Yeah, Chance actually had his little coming out verse with that. People didn't really expect to hear Chance go in like that. And for months, Kanye was talking about this could be a gospel album. So when you first hear this, you can get that gospel vibe, especially with Kirk Franklin at the end of it and the choir. It just helps bring that gospel vibe out.
And this song really influenced Chance's mixtape, I think. Because, like, he took Ultralight Beam and then, like, he made essentially a mixtape out of that with Chance 3.
Yeah. Like, with Chance, he also had a big part in producing tracks, too. So we'll probably talk about that later on. But with Chance and Ultralight Beam, I think it was instrumental for Color in Books.
Yeah.
Chance 3, as other people are.
Yeah, yeah. It didn't set the tone for the album. Like, it was good, but I still didn't know what to expect from it. Because as you go on, it's like, okay, Ultralight Beam was on here. And then you get a track like Waves, and then you get a track like Highlights. So, you know, this album essentially was like all over the place, but in a good way.
Yeah, it's all over the place, but more so like versatility. So you just got different sounds and different kind of mixtures with the sounds and different people to help bring out the tone for that song.
Yeah.
So.
One more thing about Chance. Wolves with Vic Mensa. He was originally on the song, then he was off the song, then he's back on again. But I find that weird because Vic was supposed to be like the protege to Kanye, but then here Chance just steals the show.
I mean, when you look at it, Kanye still plays a big role for Vic and Chance because they're both from Chicago, so Kanye has decided to put them under his wing.
Which is, you know, Chicago, much love.
And when you look at the different proteges that Kanye has brought out, coming from Travis Scott, Kid Cudi, Hit Boy, Big Sean, just a lot of these people he took under his wing and made something out of them.
So we get to Father Stretch My Hands Part 1. I loved it. I thought it flowed well from Ultralight Beam. The whole bleach and the asshole.
that was...
It was doing a lot.
Yeah.
But it's like, the same as like Drake. Drake and Kanye, when you've been there in the game for so long, you can get away with lines like that and people will think it's catchy. And I thought it was, you know, I thought it was cool. I like Kanye because he always speaks his mind. And that's something I always respect about him.
Yeah, with Father Stretch My Hands Part 1. And two, pretty much. The sample from Pastor T.L. Barrett, like the original track.
Wow.
I didn't know that. Yeah, the song is like from the 60s. And so.
That's why I brought you on here.
Yeah, it's a really good song. People just need to really appreciate that because the samples that Kanye uses, they're just real well. And you hear a lot of the original song in Father Stretch My Hands Part 1 and 2 later on. So it's just real enjoyable. It also has that gospel vibe to it. It's just something that you can really rock out to. Now a lot of kids want to play it in their cars or music. If Young Metro don't trust you, I'm going to shoot you.
That was definitely hot on Twitter and Instagram for a good month. So we get the part two, the panda snippet from there.
Yeah.
But when I first heard it, I didn't know about Designer at the time. I thought it was Future. Because you got Future in part one. Would he be in part two? And then this pops up, and it's not Future. And I'm like, well, did Kanye know it wasn't Future? And then turns to be out, Designer's on Good Music.
Yeah, Designer is one of the newest signees for Good Music. He's from Brooklyn, New York. So when you first hear Father Stretch My Hands Part 2, and you hear Panda come on, initially people will be like, yeah, this sounds like Future. It's just another Future knockoff.
Yeah.
But to me, it's a little different sound because Designer's voice is deeper than Future's, and they still have that kind of like deep tone raspiness, and it's kind of hard to understand, but like the flow was different and stuff, and the things that they're really talking about is just kind of different. I mean, there are some overlapping with the two artists, but honestly,
I want to ask you this: would Designer be here if it wasn't for Future?
It's hard to put that in the context because it's like asking would Kanye be here if it wasn't for Hov, would.
Okay, that's fair.
Just all these different artists. Would Kendrick be here if it wasn't for Dr. Dre?
Yeah.
Or would 50 be here if it wasn't for whoever?
Yeah, that's true. It's like, well, Kendrick, you know, because originally, even we go to, what's it, Top Dog?
Yeah, TDE.
Yeah, TDE. J-Rock was supposed to be the front runner.
Yeah, J-Rock has, he's probably the veteran of TDE.
Yeah.
J-Rock has been around for a little bit. He's probably been around since like 06 or so. And with his flow, it's really different. He's kind of like the hard rock, no pun intended, TDE, where you got Absol talking about the political along with Kendrick, and you got Schoolboy talking about his daughter and his life with the drugs and everything. Then you got the newcomers like SZA and Isaiah, and now Lance Skywalker that's about to pop off the scene for Top Dog.
And you sit with the Top Dog Entertainment with the J-Rock being the veteran. It's kind of like the Warriors, you know. You got Iggy as J-Rock, a little veteran. You got Kendrick being Steph and Schoolboy being Clay. And maybe Absol being Harrison Barnes.
Maybe
that's a stress, maybe. But
whenever you hear J-Rock on a song, expect him to come out hard and just swing it.
Huge fan of Vice City. That was a dope track.
Yeah.
Guess what? I made that chick famous.
Yeah.
You know, the first song, the first line, I should say, that pops out, the Taylor Swift line.
Yes.
What? Like, I thought it was over with, and it wasn't over with.
Man, Kanye took it to a whole nother level.
Didn't he?
First, he started with the Nina Simone sample.
Mm-hmm.
Nina Simone, one of the best singers I've ever heard in my life, singing Strange Fruit, the Billie Holiday cover. Like, he sampled that song for Blood on the Leaves. Wow. Now he's doing this for Famous and coming out taking shots at Taylor Swift, because you know Taylor Swift is on that Fugazi shit and she doesn't know how to get her mind together. Now, the crazy thing is, people don't want to admit this, Taylor actually approved this line before the album came out. If you look at the notepad that Kanye had with all those famous signatures on it, Taylor was on that. She approved that line. But as soon as that track got big and her fans started looking at her like, whoa, what the fuck? Like, then she started to turn.
She had to stand up for herself. Yeah, like, I would never do, you know, wow.
Exactly.
Well, that's,
So, but Taylor Swift is on some game.
Yeah, it's just that cocky, arrogant Kanye. So, feedback. Wake up, nigga, wake up.
Wake up, nigga, wake up. It's time to get this paper. Go live. Yeah. Just like those commercials that come on BET talking about get up, go to school.
ICDC College.
Yeah, man. You see Lil Romeo rapping about ICDC, like, wake up, nigga, wake up.
Man.
Then he got the Ghetto Oprah cameo thing at the end of the song and talk about you get a fur, you get a fur, you get a jet, you get a jet, big booty bitch for you.
Yeah.
Woo! Man, ain't that something special, man.
And the thing about Kanye, you might not like his lyrics sometimes, but you will always respect his production.
Yeah.
His production, his music, and his sound, and the energy he puts in it is just phenomenal.
One of the most underrated producers in our generation.
Yeah, yeah.
Him and Pharrell.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they've produced many songs that you would not expect them to produce.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Kanye produced two songs that have been similar to each other. I don't mean to go backtracking or anything, but
we good.
One song being You Don't Know My Name by Alicia Keys.
I didn't know that.
He produced that track for Alicia Keys.
That's why he's on, man. That's why Brother Malcolm Bello is on, because I don't even know this.
Yes, but the best thing about it, at the end of the song, there you'll hear violins playing. You'll hear a string quartet play.
Mm-hmm.
And the string quartet at the end of that song is similar to the string quartet in the song Comfortable by Lil Wayne and Babyface.
Wow.
Which he also produced.
To the left, to the left.
To the left, to the left. If you want to leave, be my guest, you can step.
Man, so you just got to appreciate that, man.
One more thing about feedback. The line, name one genius that ain't crazy.
Hey, Albert Einstein was crazy. Picasso was crazy. All these artists and everything, they're crazy in some way. So you just got to find the maddest. Just like what The Weeknd said, the beauty behind the madness.
Yeah.
You just got to embrace that. You just can't hide that.
He's a madman. A madman!
So we get to the lowlights and the highlights. Lowlights, would you consider that an interlude?
Yes.
I would definitely consider that an interlude, right?
It's like a testimony. Mm-hmm. Like usually you go to church, and for the black folks listening to this, you can understand, you'll have that one auntie or grandmama coming up for the testimony.
The testimony.
She walks up and says, "You want me to tell me, tell you a story about how he's been good to me?" Now, him being God and everything.
Yeah.
Now, it's just listening through that whole track, going into highlights, and then you hear Young Thug come in and Kelly Price singing. So it's just a mixture. You would not expect Young Thug to be singing along Kelly Price now, because Kelly Price is somebody your auntie will listen to on Sunday.
Amen.
Man, so it's just a good mixture once again.
Yeah, Lowlights was definitely dope. I like that. I like the little doom, doom, doom.
Yeah.
You know, it was cool. I like the beat drops in there. So then we get the highlights.
Highlights.
No problem with this track whatsoever. Kanye says the most outlandish things. He sent a shot to Ray J.
Yeah, finally addressing the thing about Ray J and Kim K. Because people have been giving Kanye a lot of shit because of the sex tape and everything. But, I mean, then again, you're talking about a man's family here.
Yeah.
Just because it's the internet and there's a lot of trolls and everything, you just can't really go at a man's family like that. It's just disrespectful.
And most trolls are haters, you know, at the end of the day.
Even with Ray J, he was a hater because he came out with the song "I Hit It First." It's disrespect right there.
And that song got old so quick.
It did, because you gotta remember, she's a mother at the end of the day. Now, we can go all day talking about the stuff that Kim K does.
Yeah.
But you, as someone that used to be in a committed relationship with this person, you're talking about somebody's mother here.
Mm-hmm.
So you just can't do that. Making a song about "I Hit It First," like, come on. You bigger than that, my nigga.
Yeah. Ray J, you know, when I think of Ray J, I think of One Wish.
The one hit.
If I had one hit.
That's pretty much it.
It'd be 10 years ago.
Then he had Sexy Can I with Young Berg. And then he Ain't Gonna Tie Me Down with New Boys. But those were features.
Yeah.
After One Wish, it was over for him.
And Ray J wasn't a bad artist, but it's, you know, you'll never be on Kanye's level.
No. No,
he won't. He's probably asking Brandy for money right now.
Alicia.
Wow. Freestyle 4. Your thoughts on this?
Freestyle 4. I want to grind now. Now, another track where Designer just comes out and spits.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's different and everything. You got that heavy bass and the heavy sound, just like something you would hear in Yeezus.
Yeah.
Now, personally, I could rock to it because the buildup is just something nasty. And it's just enjoyable to me because I like that hard shit. You know what I'm saying?
I get you. I couldn't get into it, dog. I couldn't get into it. Tyler's version was better.
Now, Tyler and A$AP Rocky,
they killed that.
They killed that shit.
They took on a whole other level.
Yeah, that shit was something crazy. The remix, they did that some justice. Mm-hmm. But I could rock either or.
Okay. I just couldn't get into it. I don't know what it was. I couldn't rock with it.
Maybe it's that, like, drunk song. Like, once you hear that bass and everything come in, you get a couple drinks in your system, and be like, ooh,
can't
something special.
Can't hold my liquor.
Yeah. Man.
Waves Don't Die, man.
Waves Don't Die. Now, another track produced by Chance the Rapper, and originally Chance was going to sing the parts on the song instead of Chris Brown. This song held the release for the album back because Chance was like, hold on, we got to edit this and make some changes to it. Originally, he wasn't going to be on that.
Yeah.
Chance made a couple calls to Chris Brown and changed it up and everything. And also, Chance was supposed to be on Famous. He had a verse on Famous.
I did not know that.
Yes. And they ended up taking it out. Chance was like, yeah, we just want to make some changes to this. And originally, the album was only going to be 11 tracks. Changed it to 18. Mm-hmm. So, appreciate Chance the Rapper for expanding upon the album for us.
I feel Chance is so humble, man.
Yeah, he is.
I feel like he's a real humble cat. Waves. What I liked about Waves, Chris Brown, obviously. And Chris Brown has such... He reminds me of Dwayne Wade because he can carry a team on his own. Like, he can do songs by himself. But let's say when LeBron went to Miami and Dwayne Wade had to take a step back. Like, Chris Brown's good at features too.
Yeah.
So he can do whatever for the he can do whatever. When I first listened to Waves, it was like, walk up in this bitch, like, pause. Da-da-da-da-da. Like, that was dope.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, I ain't scared to lose a fist fight. Like, it's like that's just that cocky arrogant Kanye, and people, some people don't like that, but that's why I like Kanye.
Yeah, man. Like, I love that shit.
Speaking of I love Kanye. How you feel about that interlude?
Man, people just talking all this shit, talking about we miss the old Kanye.
Yeah.
We want Kanye from, like, College Dropout and everything. But you just gotta appreciate the fact that this man is trying to be different. He's going through phases in his life where the sound changes and he's trying to stay popular amongst his fans more so than anyone else.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Jay-Z and Nas, his influence did the same thing. Prince did this thing throughout the 70s, the 80s, the 90s, the 2000s, and the 2010s.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I feel like if you are artists and you are versatile to the point where you can create different sounds,
mm-hmm,
to and be able to stay on top like that as one of the best that of what you do,
mm-hmm,
this is something that deserves more respect than anything else. Like, this is one underappreciated art form when it comes to music, is producing and changing sound that will make you popular.
Yeah, I find he was like, it was a battle between himself. You have the old Kanye, then the new Kanye. He's like, yo, I miss the old Kanye, but yo, yeah, I still love Kanye.
Yeah, he had it in the perspective like, man, I'm a fan, I miss the old Kanye, but shit, I love you like Kanye loves Kanye. So it's something special. And you could tell by the end of it, Kanye had a little bit of fun with it.
Mm-hmm, yeah, definitely. So we get the FML. Wow, I was blown away first listen.
Yeah. Now, this is one of the tracks that Kanye had played for Yeezy Season at Madison Square Garden back in February.
Uh-huh.
And The Weeknd being on the track did it some justice.
Yes.
And the transition of the beat,
yeah,
like 3 minutes in, really helped it out.
And
so
I always appreciate when Kanye gets in his feels, because it's like, you know, he's a real cocky dude, but, you know, even cocky dudes got emotions at the end of the day.
Yeah.
And it was great. I wasn't a fan of the breakdown. Then it grew on me. And I need that loving.
Yeah, it's another great sample, man. So if you have the time, just take the time and look at the samples behind each of the songs. If you're a fan like that, you'll really appreciate that, because it's just expanding your music.
One of the promo songs for the album, Real Friends.
Yeah, Real Friends with Ty Dolla $ign.
The song was so honest, it was scary to listen to, because, like, what are you saying was right? Because, you know, I did research, and it was like, you get a new group of friends every 7 years in your life. Usually people you grow up with, you know, you kind of grow out of that phase. So the song was all right. I'm a deadbeat cousin. I hate family reunions. I'm real solo. Like, we don't go to family reunion stuff like that. And I'm real iso when it comes to the family thing. Mm-hmm. So I could relate to that line a lot. Like, I thought that was dope. The replay value was just low for me. And I don't know what it was. It's a good song. I just can't listen to it all the time.
Now, this is one track that he released early on.
Mm-hmm.
Ty Dolla $ign coming in singing vocals and talking about their experience.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just greatly appreciated. Now, when I first heard the track, there was just one song that came to mind talking about real friends, just friends, how many of us. It was just,
yeah,
friends.
Yeah. Friends. Yeah.
How many of us have them?
Stop. Like, are you going retro on me right now?
Well, I mean, that just it's one, true. Another sample.
Yeah.
It's just something that you just gotta take into account. Now it gets personal,
mm-hmm,
and it's real. Like, a lot of us can relate to that, because,
yeah,
if we get to the point where he asks, how many of us actually have real friends,
mm-hmm,
and stuff. So we all go through, yeah, that transition.
And especially being a celebrity too, you know, that's, yeah, even harder. Which one are your real friends? Wolves. Up front, I didn't like the version with Frank Ocean.
Ooh.
Yeah, I didn't like it. Because first it was Vic Mensa, and it was, what's her name, Sia?
Sia.
They killed it. They were dope. And then we get to the album version, I'm like, where are they at?
Yeah. Yeah, the early album
version. Yeah, early album. And then he later added them back on.
Before it was actually released to all the major streaming sites when he first had it on Tidal.
Yeah.
Big Mensa and Sia were not on there. They were just helping produce.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I liked it because, once again, it's getting deep. So Kanye is taking the time to talk about, like, what if Mary was in the club?
Love that line.
No love. Then later on, once it got to Apple Music and iTunes and Spotify, Vic Mensa and Sia were added back on there.
I mean, I'm glad.
Yes. But with the addition of Frank Ocean, it was just a moment of, where the fuck did Frank come
from? Yeah, where'd he come from?
The fuck y'all looking at?
Because at the fashion show, Kanye had so many different artists around him. He had Puffy, he had Nas, Jay wasn't able to make it. He had Travis, Kid Cudi wearing his Daniel Boone. Like, all these different people Kanye had worked with.
Yeah.
And then out of nowhere, Frank Ocean is in the back of the crowd standing by Kid Cudi and everything.
Yeah.
So I look at that and be like, where the fuck did Frank come from?
Surprise, bitch. I bet you thought you'd seen the last of me.
And man, I think Vic had the best verse on that. I think Vic and Sia had the best verses on that song.
I think Frank did his thing. And Frank, if you're listening right now, we want the album.
Tell him.
Man, I can't be listening to Channel Orange and Nostalgia Ultra every damn day.
I know, right?
Even the Lonely mixtape, man. We want the album.
We want you, Frank. We want you, man.
Come back, man.
Come back.
Our future for life.
Silver Surfer intermission.
Shout out to Wave, Max B.
Max B. I thought that was nice. Man. I thought it was a nice little respect.
Man, Max track. B. And Max B coming on there, man, he's just sweet because Max B making his cameos on that album and even on French Montana's album. Man, it's just nice to hear from him and everything while he's locked up.
And as we move on, I think this, I can say for both of us, this is probably one of our favorite tracks off the album. And when I say that, not 24, not 25, not 26, I'm talking 30 hours.
30 hours.
Yeah.
One song that just blows me away. Mm-hmm.
The only song, that and FML, were the only two songs I listened to when I went the album all the way through.
30 hours is probably, I hate to say it, my favorite song on the album, because that is something I will listen to consistently.
It won't get old.
The beat and everything, just the sample of Answer Me and everything. It's just a great ass song.
And we were chilling and I was like, you showing all these different versions. I didn't know it was that many remixes to it.
Yeah, Big Crit doing a remix, OG Mako, and even this one dude singing the actual lines on SoundCloud. So it's just great. And he had the Arthur Russell sample of Answer Me from the 70s. It's just a great listen, man. Just appreciate that. If you love that song, hey, you're with me right now.
Like, I think everything is perfect. Like a little Andre 3K. It was settle.
The vocals and stuff. Even though most of us wish he would have spit on it.
Yeah, I definitely wanted him to spit on it, but it made sense. Yeah. It made sense.
It's just one of those songs from the album you wish were longer.
So we get to another promo track for the album, No More Parties in L.A.
Finally, a collab with Kendrick and Kanye, something that we've been waiting on for the past couple of years.
And they fold well together.
Yeah, they flow well together because Kendrick coming out being his regular Kendrick self and everything, he's not going to shy away just because he's in Kanye's presence. Like, Kendrick is going to be himself. Kanye's going to be himself. It's just two egos colliding together for the greater good of this song.
I like your bougie booty. Come, Erykah Badu me.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's just something special.
Man. The beat sound like a 90s West Coast cypher type of beat. Like,
yeah, they have the sample of Shake That Body, Body, Body. Oh, man, Ghostface, man. Yeah, they have that Ghostface sample and everything. Then even at the end of the song, sampling Drake's Uncle. So it's pretty cool, bro.
It's a pretty cool track. Like I said, it was a promo track. So when it actually came on the album, I didn't listen to it as much, but I do still respect that song, and I actually I can relate to that song. Facts. Not the Carfax. Yo, it was just straight, hey, fuck you, Nike.
Yeah, he's sending shots at Nike and shit. Now, people think that he's talking shit about Jordan. Now, you gotta remember, Jordan's one of his biggest role models and everything.
Yeah.
So, facts came out. He's like, yeah, Nike, I'm doing my own shit now. Got the Yeezys and coming out the 750s, the 350s, the 1050s, the 950s, just all these different types. And Adidas is making hella money off
of that. Yeah.
Better than the Yeezy 2s and the Yeezy 1s ever did. So this is something that people are willing to, like, go all out for these shoes. You see all these different celebrities wearing the shoes and everything. Mm-hmm. It's just one of the biggest releases of each year, depending on, like, the color wave and if it's available to the people.
Yeah. You got a bunch of people like rocking Yeezys, and
yeah, exactly.
He strongly influenced that. And Nike took a lowball tweet at him sending shots like, you're in debt.
Yeah.
So that was like kind of crazy for Nike to do something like that.
Yeah, their social media account person, he just needs to chill out and stuff. Luckily, he's not in debt anymore because his wife helped him become debt free and everything. So that just shows that family is real friends.
Hey, you know what? That is a power couple, man. You can hate and say shit, whatever, but that is a power couple. Like,
yeah, it's going to take a lot for them to have a falling out.
We get to the last track, Fade. It took too long, man.
Yo Love is Fade.
It took too long, man. I didn't want to wait a minute for the beat to drop, and I just checked out after that.
Shout out to Virgil for showing this song first earlier this year when he was in London doing a DJ set.
Mm.
Even though he was talking over it, now you hear Kanye coming in with his beats and Ty Dolla $ign rapping, and you hear Post Malone coming singing.
Mm.
This song is something that you would play in the club.
Yeah.
And you would just bump.
Just on acid.
Yo Love is Fate. You think about that one girl that you was dating and everything, and she just drifting away from you for no reason. You don't know what's going on. Mm. Like, Yo Love is Fate.
Wow, that's a deep perspective to look at.
Man, I'm feeling Fate.
Man, when I listen to that song, and it might be rude, but when I listen to it, it sounds like Billie Jean when I dance. That's what I get. That's what I get from that song. And I thought it would've been cool if the intro wasn't that long. And I love Billie Jean when I dab. Billie Jean
when
I dab.
Billie Jean when I dab. When it comes to songs like that, I just love the build up.
Yeah.
It just the anticipation and everything for certain songs is just great.
I can't do it. It's like that one girl. It's like that girl you want, but yo, if you gonna make work for it, I don't feel like working, man.
Hey, the chase is fun sometimes. That builds character.
It builds character. So, your overall rating of the album, 1 through 10.
1 through 10. Yeah. I give this album 8.5.
Okay.
Now, this album was underrated.
Mm-hmm.
One of the best of the year.
Yeah.
Turned heads because they would not expect this from Kanye.
I wasn't expecting this, yeah.
Even after a hiatus and people waiting to hear something after Yeezus, and Yeezus getting mixed reviews. So this is something that Kanye fans, good music fans, can really appreciate and could be one of his best works, if not all work, one of his best works.
Wow. I have a lot of high, you know, praise for Kanye. And I took the Twitter poll and I asked what was your favorite album? And it was Coloring Book, with the mixtape Coloring Book, and Views, and Life of Pablo. And Life of Pablo won with getting 37% of the votes, Coloring Book and Views getting about 33%. So people like this album.
Yeah.
If I had to give it a 1 through 10, I am a light skin.
Keep Paul Pierce light skin. That's
all I'm saying. Swinging on that headband, call that shit that Paul Pierce. I got to give it about a 7.5.
It's fair.
It's fair. I mean, for me, not, you know, it's not like I don't listen to Kanye consistently. I respect Kanye, but it's not, a 7.5 isn't bad. It was just, you know, with albums, to me, I need replay value. And just some of the songs I couldn't have replay value with. I mean, it's still a pretty decent album. Like I said, Graduation Day will always be my favorite. So, any thoughts you'd like to add on? I know Cruel Winter is coming up pretty soon.
Yeah, Cruel Winter has been announced by Big Sean and Kanye, with Champions being one of the premier tracks on that. And if you're listening, the song is probably already out, if not going to be out soon in the U.S. because it's been released around the world and everything. So,
who had the best verse on Champions?
I want to say Gucci, because Gucci being fresh out of jail,
yeah,
coming on the track, just killing it. And you would not expect Gucci to kill it like that or be on the track like that.
Yeah, Gucci made a song with Drake back on road. Like, Gucci's coming out firing. Kanye's verse was dope on that.
Yeah.
Big Sean verse was cool too.
Even Quavo.
Yeah. Everybody did their thing on that. I was a huge fan of Cruel Summer, and I still think To The World is one of the most underrated tracks ever. Like, that song with R. Kelly and Kanye, they killed it. So, I'm definitely looking forward to Cruel Winter.
Yeah.
Here you have it, folks. The Life of Pablo album review with my friend here, Malcolm Bello. The sampler. Know all about the samples, man.
Big baboon, man.
Go to the grocery store, man. Just give me the samples. I'm talking straight to Malcolm Bello, man.
House needs, baby.
Wow. Like I said, this podcast is sponsored by FanEssentials.net. Use the promotion code Almighty. Golden State Gear, Cleveland Gear, Bandwagon Gear. I'm just messing with you. But check them out. Use the promo code Almighty. Once again, that is FanEssentials.net. And you get 30% off. That's 1% a day. Go to FanEssentials.net. Deuces, as always, stay lit.
Napa guy knows more isn't always better, unless we're talking about full-size vans. These beasts do more than get you from A to B. They have so much space a man can live in it. With shag carpeting, waterbed, and a sweet lava lamp, these mobile abodes have all the comforts of home. With quality parts and plenty of Napa know-how, you can keep the original tiny house running longer, stronger. That's Napa know-how. Napa know-how.